Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at httpvoicerepublic.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Guess what today is? Oh my gosh, I sound like Barney. Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the Sunday, August the 4th edition of the Back to Us show on the Back to Us Radio Network. So happy to say that. With Anise, Jay, Kathleen.
Hello.
Hey, Jay. And Sharon is having some phone difficulties right now. So hopefully we'll be able to pick Sharon up in a little while. But anyway, so everybody who's following me on Facebook and on Twitter, again, Twitter is Back to Us Radio. Facebook
is... Wow, girl, you're so famous.
I am so famous. Oh, my gosh, I'm
so
famous.
Famous.
I love me. Facebook is Back to Us, the Facebook.com Back to Us Radio. So if you're following us on there, you'll all know that I did the Graffiti Run 5K today. And I also have to give a shout-out to my support team who got up with me at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning, actually 6:30. So shout-out to my friend Cree and my friend Taz for being my support team, and for my friend Casey, or Cassie as I always call her, for walking with me on that 5K today. So if I sound a little tired, it's not because of the topic, it's because I just climbed a huge hill at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Running that. I don't know, is it the Speedway?
See?
I'm jealous.
So, and if you were with us last week, you know that Jay took a little bit of vacation. So welcome back, Jay. We're glad to have you.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be back.
Yeah, Jay was over there. She was burning the midnight oil, guys, and she was working on her newest book of erotic poetry. If you haven't read any of Jay's works, you need to get them. They will leave you dripping wet, and you'll need a wet one to take care of yourself afterwards. Okay. So, and also this week, Kathleen and I had a first. Kathleen,
we did.
You want to tell them
what
it was beautiful. Oh, my God, it was amazing. There
it
were,
amazing.
Stars and stripes and banners and fireworks.
We already moved in together. It's been a week. So, yeah.
It was amazing. We did our first one-on-one with an artist spotlight yesterday morning. So if you missed it, please go back and listen to that recording. It was a one-on-one with the artist Tay. All right, so today's show. Guys, you know that usually we cut up on this show, we have fun on this show, but today's topic it's difficult. And it's difficult for me on a personal level because it's who I am and it's where I came from. So today's topic is lesbians after marriage. And I have, you know, in the whole time that I've been doing the show, I've never had such a hard time trying to find guests who were willing to put their label on the table and talk about it. And I understand why, because this is a very, very, very difficult topic. So with that said, I am actually going to bring in our only guest who was willing to really put her label on the table, and I applaud her for taking a stand. So I'm going to bring in Maya right now.
Maya. Hello.
Maya. Hello.
Hey there. Hey there.
Maya on the track.
Hello.
Hey, how are you? How's everybody?
We are good.
How are you?
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell everyone a little bit about the term lam. You know, someone's on the lam, right? That meant that they were on the run from the law. But in this case, lam means a lesbian after marriage.
Wait, okay. So you're on the run from men, basically?
Well,
yeah, we took it on the run.
You know, Kathleen. No, honey, we're not on the run from men. But basically, a lesbian after marriage is a woman who has gotten married and she has had children. And then when those children reach an age of independence or they leave home, she starts her life with a woman. Now, this term was actually coined in a 2007 Advocate magazine by Jennifer Baumgartner. But, you know, as Maya and I especially have been talking, that the definition that's out there doesn't really fit with us. Because
right.
For me, I was married for 15 years, and I left my husband to be with a woman. And my children were 4 and 11 at the time. So, I mean, they were nowhere near, like, totally independent, and they certainly hadn't left home to go away to college. So I think for everyone, the definition and, you know, I guess what I'm saying is there is no hard stop and start of at what age women leave. And Maya's story is a little bit different, and she's going to tell you her story in a little bit. But I just wanted to put that out there. And there's also some talk that lambs, which is, again, lesbians after marriage, are the new lugs. And if you don't know what a lug is a lesbian until graduation. We have so many acronyms. And I used to be a teacher, and I don't think in education we have as many acronyms as we do in the LGBTQIQPLMNOP community.
Yeah, I just like, sometimes I just feel like I'm not a cool lesbian because I don't know what any of these terms, you know, like, I'm like, yeah, I totally know what a lamb is, definitely. And then Anise was like, well, do you really? Because you seem like you really don't.
And, you know, so let's go ahead and Maya, like, go ahead and start with your story. Because your story is really, our stories are different, guys, but they're similar.
Yeah, they're different, but they are definitely similar. I was with my ex-husband for about 10 years, maybe a little bit less, but we have children. My children are very young, 13, 8, and 6. And all the while, I mean, I knew from the time that I was probably 14, that was the first time that I actively had a crush on a girl. So I knew this all along, and Anise and I were talking, and she said, you know, I realized that there was no on and off switch. Like, I couldn't turn it off, but when I did, you know, when I decided to get married and I'm just going to live this life and I'm going to have the house and the kids and the husband and, you know, the white picket fence. And I actually had all of that, but there was no peace inside. It was like I was betraying myself the entire time. And I mean, the last few years of our marriage, like we didn't even stay in the same room. Like it really became a facade. And the marriage actually ended for a number of different reasons. But when it ended, I just made the decision that, well, for a long time, I didn't date anybody. I was just trying to get my head together, like, what's going on? You know, who am I? But I made the conscious decision that I'm not going to lie to myself anymore. This is who I am. Like, I tried to hit the off switch, you know, and live the way, you know, my sisters were living and my family thought that I should live. And I just made a conscious decision. I wasn't going to lie to myself anymore. It was who I am, you know. And so that's the point where I am right now. But it's been a very lonely coming out of certain, I mean, for lack of a better word, it's been a very lonely place because I haven't found people in my position. You know, I found a lot of judgment, especially, you know, coming from the LGBT community, which is very surprising to me that that's where I found a lot of it coming from. But it, I just, like I said, I made a conscious decision that no matter what, the judgment, the, you know, the labels, all, it doesn't matter. This is who I am. I tried to hit the off switch, and then I found out that there wasn't one. And so this is just who I am, and this is the life that I am committed to, which is, you know, the life of just being true to myself.
That's awesome.
And, you know, Maya, I can echo about not finding that off switch because, you know, my story's a little different. I left home at 15 and went to school in Australia. I actually had my first girlfriend at 15 before I left home. That was one of the reasons why I ended up in Australia, guys, by the way. But, you know, even in that, I didn't even, I understood what it was, but not really. So fast forward to, you know, I'm in college, I'm at UGA, I go to this club called Bone Shakers in Athens. Shout out to Bone Shakers. I don't think they're there anymore. And, you know, I met my first girlfriend. And we did the U-Haul thing, and, you know, we had one of those tumultuous young lesbian relationships where, you know, the we fought a lot, we loved hard, we, you know, it was just typical young lesbian stuff. What I think the turning point for us was when I decided that, well, it wasn't so much as me deciding, but we decided together that I wanted to have a baby. And, you know, it was, I was like, okay, well, if I turn this on for her, I can surely, you know, just go back and be straight again. And we were, I was actually probably going into my second month of pregnancy when she and I broke up. You know, it was just something that she was younger than me. It was something that she wasn't ready for. So that hurt. I can't even describe it because it was like, oh, my gosh, you know, I've altered my entire being, my life, and now we're not going to be together.
Wow.
So I got married. And my husband and I were married for 14 years. And, guys, I had affairs all of those 14 years. I had a different girlfriend every 6 months. And, you know, and it was amazing at the time the number of women that were willing to be with someone married because they saw me as having no strings attached. You know, and I hate the term weekend lesbian because that's what some of them used to call me. They're like, oh, well, you're just a lesbian on the weekend. And it's like, okay. You know, and a weekend lesbian, guys, is someone that leads a heterosexual life Monday through Thursday, and then when it comes to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, she's a lesbian. You know, I mean, it was just, it was so, it, and the turning point for me came in 2008. When, you know, my husband and I, things had just kind of spiraled downward for us. And I never will forget, we stopped speaking on Thanksgiving Day of 2008, and we did not speak to each other again until I moved out on April the 1st, 2009.
Oh,
you know, imagine being in the same house with someone and no one says good morning, no one says good night. No one says, I love you. You know, I mean, it's just like, it was the weirdest thing that I have ever lived through. And, you know, and now I tell my girlfriends, I'm like, okay, you know what? I survived not speaking to somebody for 6 months. So if you want to fight, I got this.
Oh, wow. Well, I think that probably that was just like a result of just like so much pressure building up, like obviously within you, because you couldn't really fully express your sexuality. And him, too, just, I'm sure, just feeling like, well, this is already over. What am I, you know?
Yeah.
I think that that must have been a very frustrating, like, you guys had both just hit a wall. And I guess sometimes you just run out of, you're just done, you know?
Well, you know, and I felt, and that's, guys, this is another reason why this topic has been so I wrestled with bringing this topic to the table because in my eyes, I've hurt my husband or my ex-husband enough, and I didn't want to bring any more hurt or any more shame to him other than what I've already brought. But for me, having this topic today is about living my truth. And I can't live my truth in the shadow of wondering if he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially, you know, we're finally at the point where we can co-parent the kids together. And that even in itself has been a struggle. Maya, I don't know if you've had the challenges of, you know, trying to parent with your ex. Especially when it comes, because men are funny about, you know, their women and their kids being in another relationship, but they go to a whole nother level when their woman is in a relationship with a woman and their kids are involved.
Mm-hmm. We actually have, you know, since divorcing, we've had, you know, our ups and downs on other topics. It took me a while to be able to say the words. I mean, when I say a while, I mean, like, just recently have I said the words, look, I am a lesbian, you know what I'm saying, to anyone. It was a while before, you know, I said that, but particularly to him. And his thing was, you know, I think you should have waited to tell the kids. And I'm like, look, I've waited all these years to be true to myself. You know, I'm tired of, you know, hiding, and I had a little, you know, a fallout with someone that I was dating for a long time, and I didn't understand, you know, what the big deal was with letting everybody know, but it was more of an inner thing. It was more of a, you know, you got to be comfortable with it yourself. And that kind of struck a chord with me. So once I was able to, you know, wrap my mind around, like, look, this is what it is, and I told him, his only thing was, I think you should have waited to tell the kids. But other than that, we're actually pretty friendly.
That's good.
We haven't had an issue, you know, because of it. It doesn't really, you know, come up. He knows I date women, you know. I think it kind of was a relief to him, actually, because he was thinking that, you know, the end of our marriage was because of him or things that he was doing. And I'm like, look, you know, it's okay. You know, I'm not bitter. I'm not. So I think in some ways it was kind of a relief to him. And he was able to kind of let his guard down around me because, you know, he realized that, you know, there's no animosity. There's no hard feelings. You know, there's none of that. So we co-parent pretty well now. I mean, it's getting a lot better. We had some bumps along the way, but it didn't have, you know, anything to do with, you know, my life or, you know, me telling him that I'm a lesbian or anything like that.
Well, it's got to be great for the kids, too, the fact that you guys, like, get along so well.
Yeah. Yeah,
my parents were divorced, and when they wouldn't get along, like, kids know, and it stresses them out, too. So
yeah.
That's always good to hear that at least you guys are on, like, decent, like, you respect each other. I think that's so important.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we talk. I mean, I can say that we even laugh. Like, we know, you know, other than, like, some, you know, financial things that have come up in our past. But, you know, even that has ironed itself out. But there are no, you know, real issues. And I consider that a great benefit. Like, that's a huge blessing.
Yeah, definitely.
See, for me, it was a little different. I think that there had just been so much pain over 14 years that, you know, when I finally did leave, it took us a little over, let's see, I left in 2009, and this year was the first time that he and I are actually Facebook friends.
Wow.
That's good to know that it's getting better, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as it's constantly improving upon your relationships and things like that. I mean, it doesn't have to be set at any certain pace. Like, life doesn't have so much like a cutout, you know. It's not cookie cutter. So.
Jay, you've been quiet on this. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's different. I've never heard anyone
that has been in this situation describe it for. So it's interesting. Very interesting.
She's like, it's interesting. You know, and I remember a couple of times, and Maya, you can probably relate to this, you know, even trying to date women after coming out of the marriage, you know, and I would get the, well, you're not lesbian enough. Okay, or, you know, how do I know that you're not going to leave me to go be with a man? Okay, well, how do you know any woman's not going to leave you to go be with a man?
Right.
I mean, you know, it was like I always felt like I had to prove my lesbianism.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They do issue a card. They do issue a card that you have to get.
They issue a card.
You can pick it up at MSR. You can pick it up at MSR, and you can get your head shaved there and everything.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
And, you know, I was going to ask you what have been some of your challenges, because I'm fairly new to coming into the awareness of myself and, you know, going through all the things that go along with it. I'm fairly new. So I was actually going to ask you what have been some of your challenges.
I think my biggest challenge has really been dating with children.
Okay.
And, you know, and here's why. Because, you know, a lot of times, because I'm more attracted to masculine-identified women. And with masculine-identified women, they, you know, they don't want my husband or my ex-husband, they didn't want him anywhere in the picture. I mean, you know, at that point, he wasn't in the picture anyway. But I never will forget, I was dating this one woman, and this was like right in the, this was actually the woman that I left him for. And for Halloween, you know, we lived in this community that passed out like $300 and $400 worth of candy. So this was going to be, you know, the kids were used to trick-or-treating with our neighbors. And this was really their first Halloween not doing it. Okay, yeah, I knew that every Halloween I was not going to return back to the house and pass out candy. But I felt for my kids at that time that giving them that, you know, that sense of continuation and normalcy when I had completely uprooted their lives, that was something I needed to do. And she and I had the biggest fight about that. You know, she's like, so you're going to go over there and play wife to him, but then come back and be my girlfriend. And
right.
It wasn't, you know, it had nothing to do with me playing his wife. It had everything to do with me giving my children an
opportunity. Do you think that's insecurity, though?
I think it was a lot of insecurity. But, you know, Kathleen, I also take responsibility for the insecurity that I created within her because, remember, I started dating this woman while I was married to this man. So, you know, when you enter a relationship and you're already cheating, nothing good is going to come out of it because you're establishing a relationship on a foundation of distrust.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Agreed. But the fact that you did, like, she should have seen that you were making strides, though. And I think that that's not really fair for you to, fair to you, to, you're going out of your way. I mean, not going out of your way. You're, you know, eventually you got that distrust out of the way. You got divorced, and you're with her. And sometimes you just have to do what's best for your kids. And you think that a person like that would understand, like, your partner would just understand that, like, hey, this needs to happen just for them, just for one night. It's not how life is. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I don't want to say a rational world, but, you know, from a certain perspective, that makes sense. But I can tell you that is not what goes on in the other person's head, the person that you're dating. That's
yeah.
not what's in their head. You know, they don't see anything but a man. That's it.
Yeah. You know, and that was our, you know, honestly, I got tired of the fighting. And, you know, and then at one point I vowed to never date anyone who didn't have children. Because I think that brings, you know, I mean, seriously, though, dating somebody who doesn't
rule.
Have
yeah,
children
yeah.
is different.
I think that's fair rule.
you know, because, I mean, our lives are different, our priorities are different, even our struggles are different.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I can relate to that. I can attest to that. And I would say the same thing. I used to say, well, you know, that's that person's insecurity, and, you know, that's her insecurity, and I just could not get across, like, this isn't, you know, something that I stumbled into. I wasn't hurt. I don't, you know, hate men, and then it's going to be all better. You know, time is going to make it better, and I'm going to go back to men. Like, I could not get that across, that, you know, there is, because I went through the same thing with this person not wanting me to have any contact with my ex-husband. Like, and I'm thinking that's ludicrous, because everything that I do doesn't have anything to do with me. It has to do with my kids.
Yeah.
And I uprooted them, like you said, when I left. You know, everything has just been this constant change for them, like this huge change for them. And I wanted to keep some sense of normalcy. I wanted to keep for them. You know, I wanted to make sure that they didn't see, you know, certain things, and that they, you know, got a sense of that they were still secure. You know, mom and dad get along, so everything else is great. And we do communicate a lot. You know, he is an absolute, you know, he goes to parent-teacher conferences. He gets the report cards. He picks them up when he's supposed to. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of communication between the two of us. But, you know, with my former girlfriend, my mate, you know, she just was like, no, you know, should not communicate with him. And, you know, I don't like it. And I never could really understand that. It's hard for that to resonate with me.
And, well, you know, Maya, that is honestly, I mean, that was the challenge, you know, for me in that first relationship. Now, the next relationship that I had after, you know, I left my husband, my partner in that relationship was very, very supportive. And, you know, it actually disturbed her that our relationship was so fragmented, because, you know, she had been the child of divorce, and she knew, you know, her parents had been separated, but they ended up getting back together. But, you know, she remembered that point in her life when her parents weren't communicating with each other. And, you know, she was like, even if you all don't like each other, she's like, just come together and, you know, work together for the kids. And, you know, and I would always tell her, I'm like, well, I'm trying, but, you know, he's not trying. And she's like, well, you know, maybe sometimes you're going to have to give a whole lot more than you normally would just to get him to the point where he's okay. And, you know, and when I finally took her advice was, I said to him one day, I was like, you know, why is everything with you a fight? Why? I said, you know, I feel like I'm going to battle every time I pick up the phone with you.
Uh-huh.
And he said to me, I said, why can't we just be friends? I was like, I just want to be friends. We were married for 15 years. We worked together for a year and a half. Why can't we just be friends? And he said to me, Anise, we are not even friends on Facebook, so how can we be friends in real life?
Wow.
You know, but when he said that, I wanted to laugh, but I knew that in his mind that was just so serious. Because for him, you know, whenever I had my affairs, I always had my affairs online through internet dating sites and, you know, things like that. So for him, being the opportunity to come into that internet life that I had meant that he was a friend. You know, I friended him on Facebook, and, you know, and a couple of days ago he said to me, he's like, you post all the time. He's like, my phone goes off all the time with notifications from you. I said, well, you know, you can turn that off. I said, but you want it to be my Facebook friend. I said, so that's what I do.
Yeah. You have to promote this awesome radio show.
But, yeah, that's right. I got to promote the radio show. I got to promote, you know, my friend's books. I got to promote, you know, everything else. And speaking of promoting, we're actually going to take a 3-minute commercial break and listen to the wonderful sounds of Tabitha Durham. I actually met Tabitha probably about 3 or 4 years ago, at a fourth Tuesday event. And Maya, if you haven't had the opportunity to venture out into the community yet, fourth Tuesday is a wonderful women's professional social group. They have a happy hour at Mix on the second Friday of every month. And then they also have a fourth Tuesday dinner at different restaurants in Atlanta the fourth Tuesday of every month. So, I mean, it's a much older group, and they are very, very supportive. It's the social arm of the health initiative. So that's that's a great way. If you're looking for somewhere to kind of plug in, that's a great community to plug into. It's a great group of women.
I mean, you are so smart. Will you just plan my life?
Absolutely, baby. I'll plan your life while we're sitting. Kathleen, I'll plan your life while we are sitting at my friend Jen's bar, my sister room, Jen and Jamie. So I'll plan your life while we're sitting there at the bar eating turkey sliders.
Okay. Yum.
Yes.
Great.
All right, so now back to Tabitha. We completely digressed from that one. But Tabitha, I never knew that she did music until she sent me a Facebook invite a couple of weeks ago, and she's like, hey, come listen to me. I'm going to be at Carvana in Oakhurst. I'm going to be playing. And I was like, oh, you sing? She was like, yeah. So, and so I went and listened to her, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. So I sent her a text a few days ago, and I was like, hey, Tabitha, I want to feature your music on my radio show. And she goes, oh, you have a radio show? And, this is somebody that I talk to on a regular basis. So, I mean, her music has that Melissa Etheridge, bluesy, juke joint kind of feel to it.
Nice.
And so the song that we're going to listen to for our first commercial break, our first and only commercial break, is actually going to be Some Other Arms, which is, really fitting for our topic. All right, so here's Some Other Arms by Tabitha Durham.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, everyone. That was Tabitha Durham, Some Other Arms. And let's see, we've got Jay, and we've got Kathleen, and we've got Maya. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. And we actually have a caller, so I'm going to go to caller 7766. Caller 7766, you're on the air with Back to Us Radio. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air with Back to Us.
Hi. My main question is, I really, really want to understand what is the communication thing or this need to still stay connected to the ex-husbands. I don't get that.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about that. Thank you so much. And tell me your name.
My name is Q.
Q. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and, Maya, let's take this question from Q.
Okay.
So
am I still
Q wants
here?
I got disconnected
for a minute, and I called back.
Okay. All right. Q asked the question. She wanted to know, what is this thing about wanting to stay connected to the ex-husband?
Okay.
And
okay.
So I can address it from mine. And Maya, then maybe you want to, well, I guess I should have asked Q if she want, which one she was, well, I guess we can both address it. For me, Q, I have only probably in the past year attempted to connect with my ex-husband. And the main reason why I'm attempting to connect with him is our daughter has a mental illness, and, you know, I'm parenting two special needs kids. So I feel that he needs to be a part of that. Not necessarily that he needs to be a part of my life, you know, me personally, but he needs to be a part of their lives. And the only way that I could engage him to be a part of their lives was to allow him a small segment into my life. And Maya, I don't know if you want to address that question or.
I'll echo that. I don't think for me, it's not necessary. And just like what you said, it's not me, you know, wanting to be in his life or needing him to still be in my life. For me, it's just about the kids. And I don't think that, you know, we have to be, you know, we have to be enemies but keep up a good front for the kids. Like, I just, you know, for me, it's all about the kids. It's, you
right.
know, like I said, we're not, you know, enemies. We are not, by any stretch of the imagination, your typical divorced couple. I will say that. Because, you know, we're not bitter enemies. And I know you were saying, you know, for, you know, all those months, you all were in the same house and didn't even speak. Like, we slept in separate rooms, but, you know, we still spoke. And even now, you know, we're not enemies. I don't have a reason, you know, not to, or, you know, to have any type of animosity towards him. But our communication, you know, it's strictly for the kids. You know what I'm saying? It's not anything personal. It's, you know, no lingering, you know, feelings. Though there, you know, anything like that. It's strictly for me, for the kids.
Right, and you know, and
both,
with me,
you know.
Well, for me also, there's definitely no lingering feelings. You know, I'm just happy that he and I are both to the point that neither one of us want to kill each other. And that, you know, we can actually, you know, that our text messages aren't, you know, I'm not sending them typing with gripped fingers.
Right. And there was a point in time when I did, you know, want to kill him for other reasons. But when I strip all that away and just, you know, make it about the kids, then I have very little, you know, room for any other emotions, any other feelings, any other anything. When I strip away everything else and just make it about the kids, then it makes it easier for us to communicate. And, you know, for me, it's a necessity.
And I hope that answered your question, Q. All right. Let's go ahead, and because we're going into the last 15 minutes or so of our show, so I definitely want to make sure that we cover everything else that we've got on this topic, because this, we still have a lot to cover. Okay, so let's talk for a moment about support. What does, you know, when I was trying to research this topic, honestly, the only group that came up for lesbians after marriage was all the way in California. And I think Maya, you mentioned that same group. And it was actually a meetup group. But, you know, there's not a lot of support out there, either within the community or outside of the community, you know, for this, you know, for women like us. So I think today we start with, you know, opening the doors and kind of exploring, you know, what do we really need when we say that we want support? You know, Maya, what would that support look like for you?
That support for me would look like, you know, one of my biggest issues has been, like we spoke of before, just the judgment. So anything with a lack of judgment would be, you know, great for me. Like, that would be enough for me. But just for me, it would look like people who either, even if you aren't in this particular situation, if you could just be open to, you know, understanding what it's like on our end, you know, with the judgment and with the labels and with the negativity that comes along with it. If, you know, if that's what it would look like to me. It would be free of judgment and, you know, hostility because I'm no less, you know, lesbian than anyone else. So just the support that anyone would give anyone, you know, in anyone in the LGBT community.
Exactly. And, you know, for me, I think that support, you know, that support would kind of look like, you know, what I already have, you know, and honestly, I mean, I have some great friends, you know, they call me to the carpet when my, you know, when I'm off topic with things, you know, and they really support, they have, my friends have really pushed me more than anybody else to build that relationship, you know, and maintain that relationship. And, you know, it's like, okay, Anise, just because, you know, I understand where you are now, but you don't, you know, everything that you came from, you don't just all of a sudden stop. That just doesn't go away. You know, you don't go back to it. But you need to understand it and kind of embrace, you know, what you need in this life that you are living now. And it took me, you know, when they used to say, when the older, because I hang out with, you know, I've always been attracted to older lesbians, you know, like in their 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. You know, a lot of the advice that they've given me is advice that they have lived. They're giving me lived experience.
And if you live for 80 years, then you have a lot of experience.
That's right. If you even if you live for 40 years, you have a
lot
of experience.
That's why you like the 80-year-olds.
Yeah, you know. I just, Kathleen, I love older women. There's something that is very enticing about older women.
No, I agree. I definitely do not count out like an older lesbian either. So I get that totally.
Yeah, you know, and I feel fortunate that, you know, when I came out and came into the community that I was surrounded by so many older lesbians who were willing to share their stories with me of, you know, okay, well, baby, this is what I did, and you know, I was married, and this is how it didn't work, or this is how it did work. And, I mean, they shared those stories with me, and I listened to them, and I learned from them. You know, and not to say that I didn't make, you know, any mistakes. Oh, my gosh, I did. But at least I had a support system there. And what I'm hearing from you, Maya, is that there's not like a network support system. You know, like when young women come out, they have the coming out youth support group that they can go to, and they can sit down and talk. You know, masculine identified women have masculine identified lesbian support groups, but there's nothing for lesbians who have been married who are coming out as lesbians,
no.
Or women who are now coming out as lesbians after marriage. There we go. So,
well, what do you think about this, though? Do you think the number of lambs will actually decrease now that more and more people are comfortable with coming out, gay marriage is, you know, only becoming more and more legal? Like, do you sort of see this as a trend that will happen less going forward?
Oh, that's a good question. From, you know, I don't think that this is so much a trend. I think that this is something that we're just now starting to talk about. Because,
yeah,
believe me, I mean, it's been going on for years, and we've whispered about it.
I know, definitely. But I was just thinking, like, for my situation, like, personally, like, I grew up in a very small town. Like, I was totally on that track to marry a guy and just pop out some kids and just move back to where I'm from. I mean, I was on that track. I did sorority in college, all that kind of stuff. But we can't, like when I graduated and I moved here, I was like, I have to be out, just period. I just cannot continue on this track anymore. I'm going to move away and start my own track. Because I feel like lesbians, like, you know, you guys and a lot older lesbians that have come before us have sort of set up this, like, roadway for us, and we just keep on going straight on it, and we are gay on it, LOL. and we don't have to, I mean, it's just a lot more acceptable these days, obviously. It's like a known thing, but maybe people won't feel like they have to sort of be that image anymore. And if they don't feel like they have to, then they certainly wouldn't want to. So they would bypass having to get married in general. I would just like to hear y'all's opinion on that. I'm not saying it's dying out by any chance, but.
Well, okay, I'll give you my perspective, then Maya can give you hers. For me, I think, you know, had I guess flip-flop, had I been 21, 22 in the year 2013, as opposed to the year 1995, 96, somewhere in there, my life would look very, very different because, you know, there is a lot more acceptance, you know, and I mean, when I came out, I don't think there was any state where you could get married legally. There were lots of states that had domestic partner benefits, but, you know, you couldn't get married. So I was like, okay, well, you know, if my relationship isn't even going to be recognized, why do I want to get into a relationship like that? You know, and I think that, honestly,
definitely.
I think that had my first girlfriend and I, you know, had we taken some steps to get counseling and to solidify our relationship, I think maybe we could have lasted because, you know, she is still 20 years later, 22 years later now, she's still my best friend. We still talk. We don't talk all the time. But, you know, I mean, we still communicate. So, you know, that I think that, I don't know, I think that it would be different. I don't think we're going to see a trend, but I just think that it would be different.
Okay. I think that, if, you know, for the lesbians who are currently, you know, in situations where they are not being true to themselves, I think I'm hoping that it would be a lot easier, you know, for them to either come out or at some point, you know, be true to themselves or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I think going forward, again, I'm hoping, but I think that fewer people will see the pressure or feel the pressure of having to go with society. And,
right.
You know, even though this is not
definitely
what's real to me, you know, I'm just going to go with it because this is what's expected of me. I think that people, you know, and I don't think it's going to be a dying thing. I think it's just going to, I'm hoping, it will be, you know, less prevalent because, you know, we're coming into an age where when you're 21, 22, 25, you know, it's to the point or getting to the point where we can be comfortable in our own skin. And we don't
right.
have to live up to these societal pressures or, you know, family pressures or, well, this is what my sister did, this is what my other sister did, this is what my brother did, so this is what I'm going to do. You know, I think people,
right.
you know, will get to the point where, or are getting to the point where they're more comfortable in their own skin and they don't have, you know, they won't feel that pressure to deviate. and then have to go backwards. You know what I mean? Because that's what I feel like I've had to do. Like, I feel like I'm completely starting over. I feel like an infant.
Yeah.
I mean, I can definitely see why. It's a hard thing, and I'm very sorry to hear also that you kind of, the LGBT community has not been as receptive to you. That's, like, alarming.
Oh, no.
Because we should have been,
no.
We should be your buddies for life, you know? We got
no.
you now.
No, 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 no.
You're in the club. Have you been properly hazed?
I am not sure. I'm not sure, but, you know, I've definitely had my feet held to the fire since making this decision. You know, my haven't had a lot of experience, a lot of, you know, girlfriends and this, that, and the other, but I've definitely had my feet to the fire in the one that I'm in, but it, you know, it doesn't deter me, it doesn't, you know, jade me at all. I'm not like, ooh, no, that's just too much pressure, I'm going back to men. Like, it's not that. Like, I can't go, you know, I can't go back. This is who I am, and I'm comfortable now, you know, and it came
right,
with age
there,
as well. It came with
no
age
going
maturity.
Back.
Yeah, there's no going back. That's that on that, but, you know, I don't know about being hazed, but I've definitely had my feet to the fire, and it wasn't pretty, but, you know, it is what it is, and I'm appreciative for every aspect of what I'm going through, because, like I said, I'm basically starting all over again, so
right.
I'm guessing had I, you know, not deviated from who I was, you know, these are the type of things that I probably would have gone through when I was, you know, 21, 22, as opposed to the age I am now.
Definitely.
Which is
23. Well, Maya, we're getting ready to hit our countdown for the show. And, guys, I know that this topic is really good, and I know that I'll probably be getting a lot of Twitter messages that I've just learned how to respond to, and I'm sure that I'll probably be getting a lot of Facebook messages on this one. Again, our Twitter is at Back to Us Radio. Facebook is Back to Us Radio. Follow us on Twitter, friend us, you like our Facebook page, and come talk to us. I mean, you know, we want a dialogue. We want to open this up so that there's understanding and so that we can foster a sense of healing. And I am actually going to be speaking with the person, Julie, who's actually started the meetup group in California, about seeing if there's something some type of support group that we could even start on Facebook for lesbians after marriage. So, again, Maya, thank you so much. I mean, I am eternally grateful to you for having the courage to come out on national, or what? How is it? Sharon has it, national, international radio. And I'm like, Sharon, it's just internet radio. So thank you for coming out on internet radio and sharing your story, because, I mean, this is how, again, guys, you can't help what you're not aware of. So creating awareness is the first step in healing. And remember to always give away that which you need the most. So, Maya, we're going to say goodnight to you, and Kathleen and Jay, I have something special for you tonight. So,
well, I would also
Maya,
like to say thank
again
you
for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I was shocked to hear that you had difficulty finding people to
I did.
Share
Everybody wanted
I've
to talk
like,
about it.
Yeah, I've been chomping at the bit, like, just for a platform to, like, just get it out. Like, even if it was just me and one other person, like, I just wanted to talk about it.
Well, thank you so much, Maya and Denise. You guys, like you, I mean, I wasn't really experienced on the topic, so I myself have learned a lot from both of you. I know it's very hard to share a story like that. And, yeah, thank you guys. It was fantastic.
All right. Well, thank you, Maya. So I'm going to. All right. So now my amazing, phenomenal, outstanding, awesome, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious bomb.com. Sunday evening, Back to Us radio team,
yes.
Kathleen and Jay. You know, Jay, I know that I push you out of your comfort zone doing the show a lot. I know that this is a huge commitment for both of you to do this with me on Sundays. And even for Sharon, you know, guys, Sharon isn't here with us today, But Sharon and I have 10 years of friendship. This woman has stood by me when there was nobody else standing. And, you know, even though Sharon's not here on the air today, she actually had an emergency at her job. And, you know, and we need Sharon to keep her job because Back to Us doesn't pay us any money, okay? We do this for free, guys. But, you know, Kathleen and Jay and Sharon, thank you for doing this with me because you all know that this is my passion. It doesn't necessarily have to be your passion, but because you all love me and you love what we can give to the community, you sacrifice your time on Sundays. So I just wanted to say publicly thank you.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, thank you very much, Denise. That's so sweet.
Well, and then I also have to make an announcement. Guys, we've had some babies. The Back to Us Radio Network has actually added comedian Reggie Jackson, who will be doing a show on Tuesday nights live from Cat's Cafe. We are adding in September Tico Davis, who's going to have Tico's Corner. And then we have my personal favorite. I love her blogs. You know, she's been on our show before. She is wonderful, and she gives out doses of healing and love and encouragement. And even, you know, even when this woman was going through her life, just her life was spinning out of control, she still reached out to me, and she was like, "Are you okay?" In the midst of her world falling off its axis, she's turning to me going, "Ma, are you okay?" So welcome to our biggest baby of all, weighing in at 20-plus bloggers, Michelle Alexander with The Girl's Guide is going to host her first show on Back to Us Radio Network. We're no longer the Back to Us Radio show. We are a network now.
Wow, so very impressive.
Yeah, I know, right? So, I've been in labor, y'all.
Like
I'm real tired.
I feel like we need uniforms, but it's on the radio, so no one.
Yeah, we're good. And so some upcoming shows. Kathleen, tell us about Cancer Fighting Jess real quick.
Cancer Fighting Jess, real quick. Okay, everybody in Atlanta or around Atlanta, August 24th, we are having a benefit show for my friend Jess Cohen that Anita met. We all had a very great time at MSR the other day, which we love to promote. We're going to have a benefit show. It's going to be a variety show with Julie Osborne. And if anyone knows Julie Osborne, you know it's a good show. She just got nominated for was it Flux Comedy Show of the Year? Anyways, August 24th is all you need to know, 8:30, variety show. We're going to have three singers, and we're going to have four comedians, and we're going to have two poets, and I'm actually going to co-host with Julie. So come out and support my friend who is running 31.6 miles in California.
Wow.
She's saying she needs to raise $2,000 so she can run 31.6 miles. So she needs to raise money so that she can run. Not raise money to go on a cruise, not raise money to get a new shirt, to run. So we need to help this girl out because that's crazy.
Wow. Okay, so that, and give us that date one more time, Kathleen. August the 24th
August the 24th at my sister's room in Atlanta.
At my sister's room. Guys, please support my sister's room. I've known
yes.
Jen and Jamie for almost 15 years, so y'all go support them. Tell them you heard about them on Back to Us Radio and eat some of their food. Oh, my God, their food is so good. Okay, so let's see. What else do we have? Oh,
their beers are good,
too. We have a transgender awareness show coming up on August the 18th, so tune in for that. And we'll actually be, you know, again, increasing awareness on the T part of our community, which is transgender. And also, Sharon has her own show coming up on August the 25th, and she's going to be talking about health and fitness. So that ties perfectly in to the Cancer Fighting Jess, and then we'll have Sharon's fitness show. So, guys, thank you all so much for listening. We're going to close out tonight with the wonderful, sultry sounds of Tabitha Durham, and she's going to take us home on These Old Bridges. Thank you all for tuning in. Catch us next Sunday on the Back to Us Radio Network. Okay, I'm looking for my studio. All right, I found the studio, guys. Aren't y'all proud of me? All right, Tabitha Durham, These Old Bridges.
You have been listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at http://voicerepublic.com.